Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome. So glad you tuned in, and a very happy Wednesday to you. Hope your week has been great so far. Well, I am excited about today's show because we have Pastor Randy Disher in studio to talk about the book of Proverbs. And one thing he and I were talking before the show, and he suggests when he preaches on this topic, is for us to ask several times a day, what's the wise thing to do? Have you ever thought of doing that? Just because we make so many decisions every single day. And, you know, we can choose life or we can choose death. We can choose blessing, cursing. We can choose unbelief. We can choose faith. We can choose to be offended or to release that person from our debt. And so what's the wise thing to do? I want you to think about that as this conversation gets started. I've grabbed a handful of resources off of our Faith Radio shelf, a Mark Batterson book and a Lisa Harper book and a few others. So if you've got a question you want to chime in today, you can call in and you'll get one of the books off of our Faith Radio shelf. Let me tell you about my guest and we'll get this conversation started. Randy Disher has been the senior pastor at Constance Free Church for 27 years. And as senior pastor, he serves as the primary teacher on the teaching team and gives overall visionary leadership to the church. He and his wife, Debbie, have 4 children and 6 grandchildren, wow, whom they love dearly. And you can learn more about him on the web at constancefree.org. Pastor Randy, thanks for joining us again today.
Amen, and thank you. And you're only one grandchild behind. I've got 7 now.
You have 7 now?
Yeah.
And I have 0, but we'll talk about that another day. Yeah. Well, before we get going, I just want to just honor you for your length of service, you know, because pastors are dropping out at an alarming rate for all kinds of reasons. And you know what, Randy? That should be a separate show that we should talk about someday. I think there's something like 1,500 pastors a month who drop out, and for so many sad reasons. But I just want to honor you for your staying power and your faithfulness to God and to your church.
Yes, well, thank you. And it's all the people of the church as well, and the great leadership that has been provided for us there through some of the great volunteers and lay leaders of our church. Just a wonderful thing.
You know, every time I talk with you about this, you bring up your team, you bring up the people you're surrounded with, and always honor them so well. And it really is a team effort, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. We just totally believe in God's giftedness and how he works in individual and unique lives. And we need to honor that and lift those people up and encourage them to lead where they're placed. And so that's been just a really powerful thing in our body.
Wow. What a inspiration, though, to step back and go, wow, 27 years. Absolutely amazing. And you've got some fresh vision that God's given you for some years to come, and it'll be fun to have you come back later and talk about where those things have landed. So that's all you're going to hear about that for now. But you always like to start out talking scripture, and you chose Proverbs 1:1-7. Would you mind reading that and then speaking to that passage? I'd love to hear.
I'd love to. I just want to encourage all of the listeners to think about how Proverbs can not only help you make wise decisions in your walk with Christ, but also how it can help you teach others, especially maybe your children, grandchildren, and how it can help you get in a simple habit of reading the Bible and getting God's wisdom into your life every day. And I just have a simple statement that says that if you're not reading the Bible every day, you're not getting wiser. So I just want to encourage people from the start as we read this. It says, these are the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. Now, they're not all. There's 4 or 5 different sources in here, but Solomon is seen as the fountainhead of all Old Testament wisdom and this literature genre. So that's why we honor Solomon at the very beginning. Now, it says it helps us gain a lot of things, for the gaining of wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior. So not just knowing, but behaving is important. Doing what is right, just, and fair. For giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. So this is meant to be passed on. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. And then this is a key thought. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So from the very beginning, we have a dichotomy of people. There are those who act foolish and are considered fools, not because they're not smart, but because of the way they act. And then there are the wise. So whenever we think of this kind of literature, we have narrative throughout the Bible, which is really telling us the storyline of how God breaks in to redeem people. And then we have prophetic literature, which is how that people, as they walk, God speaks to them through servants of God. And then we have the wisdom literature, which is really a human voice of experience, of how people have experienced God's leading and walking in their lives. So when we have the wisdom literature, it's like you're walking along the road with somebody and they're just saying, they're listening to you. And then you say, well, here's what's happened to me. So maybe you could think about that a little bit. And that helps us process our own decision-making process. So Proverbs is written that way, as the other wisdom literature is. And there's 31 chapters. Just encourage people, take one chapter a day. Take you about 3 or 4 minutes to read these Proverbs and instructions. And then ask God, well, can you make one of those come alive for me today? Or maybe one hits you as you read it. You go, oh, I need that. I know I'm going to have to make this decision today. You'd be surprised how apropos it is. Now, the first 9 chapters of Proverbs are really unique in that they're different. They're not Proverbs. They're more instructive speeches that fathers give to their children. So it's passing on from generation to generation. This is how God has led in my life and how he can maybe live in your life. And once you get past chapter 9, then chapter 10 through 31 are like the best of the best, because the Bible tells us that Solomon wrote over 3,000 parables and over 1,000 songs. And so we don't have very many of them represented, but this is cherry picking the best of the best. Now, Proverbs are different in the sense that we have different kinds of things that come to us. We have commands, and commands are something that I am always told to do. If God says it, I just do it. Then there are promises. Those are things that God says he will always do. And then there are Proverbs, and Proverbs are human. This is the way we've seen God work. And generally, if you do this, this will generally happen.
So I've heard that before, where someone had said, you know, like the passage, train up a child in the way he should go. They say this isn't a promise necessarily, but a probability. What say you?
That's exactly what it is. It's not a promise. All sorts of us have tried the very best we could to raise up children for God, and sometimes they make choices that really are discouraging for us. But the probabilities are they have that in their heart and mind, and God always has a channel or an avenue to speak to them. And as we pray, we believe he will, and that he continually does that. So interestingly, the Proverbs and the wisdom literature basically says, the probabilities are you'll live a better life, you'll stay on the godly path more if you follow this wisdom and behave in the way that it says. And hopefully we'll have time today to unpackage a few of the great Proverbs that we have here. So the Proverbs are just great, but I have found that these first 9 chapters are just so helpful for talking to kids and talking and sharing wisdom with other people who might be struggling with decisions. So chapters 1 to 9 are different in that way. And chapter 8 is totally different in the fact that it personifies, it makes almost a person out of wisdom and out of folly. And it says they have their place in the city and they call out to the simple. And on the one hand, the call to the simple is do whatever you want. You can just go against the grain. And the call to the wise is follow God's path and things will go better for you. So the wise person says, this is what God wants, and I generally am going to follow that. And when I do that, God has a chance to reveal himself to me. The fool says, now the fool is not a fool because he's stupid or lacks intelligence. The fool is always called a fool because of his will. He has a problem with his will. He wants to do things his way, not God's way. And all of us have had experience with that. We don't need to be told too much about that. So this is a very practical thing, that when wisdom and folly are personified, it's just basically saying there's a grain to the universe that God has created in order, a moral universe. And when you understand that, you'll understand how to best live your life so that you really live life and not just survive life. And years ago, when I contemplated the first seven verses of this, and it ends with this spear, and we'll talk about it in a minute, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I wrote a proverb for that as I thought about that. I thought about these first nine chapters and how it comes down to the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the proverb went something like this: understand the system, get on the right side of the system, and work the system. So when you understand that God's a moral God, he created a moral universe, and he created things to work in a certain way, when you understand that system, you get on the right side of that. And you say, okay, God direct my paths. I want to go with the grain, not against the grain. It's always easier to swim with the current. And then I'm going to let that work for me to keep me on the path, and God says that he hopes to do that. So that leads to that interesting concept of the fear of the Lord, what it means to fear the Lord. Now, almost all of us in the church have a concept of that, and we usually boil it down to not the terrible fear, I'm scared to death fear, but the awe and reverence of God. And that's part of this concept. And what most people, I think, fail to realize is this is almost like a bound statement. It's almost like an idiom. And so when you say the fear of the Lord and it rolls off your tongue, it means something deeper than just the words themselves. So it's more than just our reverence. Sort of like if I told you to hit the road, you understand that the word hit means to strike something forcefully. The road means a pathway that you walk on. You don't go outside and bend over and hit with your fist the road. We've made that an idiom to mean, I don't want you here anymore. Leave.
Yeah.
You know? And so the fear of the Lord is a concept that has deeper, fleshed out meanings to it. And when you read it, and there's over 130 times in the Old Testament, depending on how you view it, and there's different ways. Some of it is fear. I'm scared to death of this. But when it's talking about the fear of the Lord or to fear God, it always has three concepts involved with it. Number one is that you understand the commands and character of God, and you stand back and you're in awe of that. And you reverence that. But you're seeing his character and you're seeing his commands. And when you're really in awe of that, the second concept is you obey that and you let that become your way. You say yes to that. You don't stand against the grain. And then the third part of that concept of fear of the Lord is always then God makes the way for you. He generally blesses you and honors you as you say yes to him. And so if you read in Deuteronomy chapter 1, and these are where some of these are, and I'll then go to the Proverbs as well. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you and observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that your children and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, so that you might enjoy long life. And so there it is. You have those three concepts intertwined there. It's found in Psalm 112. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Those three things right there. All the time. Psalm 128. Blessed starts with the blessing are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him. So you're in awe enough to say, oh, I should follow this. Blessing and prosperity will be yours. Unfortunately, in our churches, a lot of times we have boiled it down to awe. And we think that somehow that's contained in a worship service or something like that. And we all know people who say, oh, I love Jesus. He's just so great. And I get warm feelings in worship and all that. And they go out and do the exact opposite of what Jesus would say. They're not fearing God. And so Proverbs chapter 9 is so interesting because it talks about wisdom in the first part of the chapter. In the middle, it's the focal point of what you need to listen. And then folly is seen in the second part. They're making their calls. They're making their pitches. Come on. Come on, simple one. Follow me. And in the very middle, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. So you see those three things over and over again. This is the fear of God that we're supposed to. And my contention sometimes is that we're happy to leave it as, oh, he's a big God.
You're so right.
He's
mm-hmm.
awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's way beyond me. Like, I never... And he's saying, no, I've revealed my character to you through the way I'm doing things and my commands and the manner of life. And so I want you to obey that. That's going to be good for you. I'm going to bless you when you do that. And I'm going to open that path for you. So when we do that, we get on the right side of the system. System works for us.
Yeah, and you talked about the current. You know, really, as you think about it, there are two currents, and they're opposing. There's a current of foolishness, of the world's wisdom, you know.
Exactly.
And then there's a current of God's grace and walking in his way.
Yeah.
We're going to play a song. I'm going to jump, if you don't mind, Matt, to The Greatest Thing, just because it ties into what Randy's been talking about. And this is Shannon Wexelberg. Just a short statement about The Greatest mm-hmm. Thing. And all my life is knowing you. You know, we fear him because there is no one greater than him. Let's listen to this song. And then we'll be back in a moment.
The greatest thing in all my life is loving you. Oh, the greatest thing in all my life is to love you more. I want to love you more. The greatest thing in all my life is
that song. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. I have Pastor Randy Disher of Constance Free Church in studio. We're talking about the wisdom of Proverbs. We've got a stack of books to give away. If you want to chime into the conversation, or maybe you've got a question for Pastor Randy today, here's that number, 877-933-2484. Again, 877-933-2484. Or email me, susie@myfaithradio.com. You know, we were chatting in the green room before the show, and I was so struck by when you said that foolishness isn't a lack of intelligence, because you can be very intelligent and be totally foolish. And on the flip side, you can have not very much intelligence and be full of godly wisdom. And so it really is an act of the will. Just love for you to say a little bit more about that.
Well, I think all of us know people who are really, really smart who do crazy things. They might be addicted. They might be...
They might squander
alcohol.
Their gift, you know?
Yep. They mm-hmm. might overspend. They might overwork. And, you know, that's not, God's just saying that's not wise, you know? And so we all know that. And on the other hand, I grew up in farm country. You know, my dad was a pastor. And, I mean, there were people in the church who really the only thing they read was the Word of God. And they knew how to farm, and they knew, had all that wisdom built up in them. You know, they didn't have school learning. You know, when I was younger, there was many of those farmers who made it through the sixth grade or eighth grade, but you just wanted to listen when they talked.
Wow.
Because they had submitted their will and their way to God, and he was making their path straight, blessing them.
That's just beautiful.
It's a great thing.
877-933-2484. We were talking about the wisdom of Proverbs. We've got Mike calling in from Thief River Falls. Mike, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you. I just wanted to tell Randy that I remember when his time goes way back before 27 years, when my wife dialed a number and to his church in Benson, Minnesota, and he invited us in, and he was a great pastor for us, and he's listening to him on the radio here. He still is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How sweet.
Well, and interestingly enough, I know who that is, and his wife's name is Dawn. Mm-hmm. So they're great folks.
Wow.
Great folks. They were a great addition to our church. I could tell a really funny story about Mike. I don't know if I should. Do you think so?
What do you say, Mike?
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
You get a book for sure, Mike, for all this.
Oh, you're going to, Mike. So one day, Mike was farming at the time, and he had to get up early to milk cows. And he sat in the front row to help him keep awake, and Don tried to keep him awake, too. And I sure hope this is the right guy, because he didn't give him the last name. Thief River Falls.
You're right.
You're right.
You're right.
So anyway, I'm preaching and talking about the guy falling asleep and falling out. When Paul's preaching, the guy falls out and breaks his neck. And Mike wakes up and says, "Are you talking about me?" And the whole place burst out laughing. So good
That's
to hear
great.
From you, Mike.
God bless you, Mike.
You know, I'm glad I don't remember that incident, but that's true. I had to get up at about 4 in the morning to get the cows milked on those Sundays, and that was a ploy to try and stay awake that way.
Well, we're going to send you a copy of Mark Batterson's book, All In, Mike. Thank you for calling and for honoring Randy that way. Really appreciate it.
All right.
That was
God
great.
Bless you. How fun.
Yeah.
Isn't that neat? I think that's going to be, Randy, one of the greatest things about heaven is the stories. I mean, of course, next to being with Jesus, but the stories of how our lives intersected and the things that maybe we didn't even make a big deal out of that became a big deal to someone else.
Just never know when you avail yourself to what God wants to do in your life, how you can impact people. It's amazing. That's what the body's all about, though.
Yeah.
That's why God places us on every block and every corner and every place, because He wants us to touch the world for Him.
Amen.
It's awesome.
Amen. Well, I told you also in the green room that I'd memorized a passage out of Proverbs 3:3-10. There's so much there about love and faithfulness and favor with God and man and leaning not on your own understanding. So I want to just jump off of your notes for just a moment here and talk about this, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. We hear that one a lot. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. I studied that word acknowledge, and I used to think that was sort of a perfunctory nod, like in all your ways, make sure He's a part of it. But I studied that word, and it's a deep, intimate knowing. So in all your ways, know Him intimately. Know Him intimately with regard to your finances, your time, your relationships. That makes that verse mean something altogether different, doesn't it?
That's the first part of the fear of the Lord, understanding His character and His commands and how they intersect with every part of your life. And when you read the Proverbs, you see that. It's every part of your relationship, your emotions, your finances, and, you know, just your marriage and how you deal with the opposite sex. And all this is, it's just scattered through there and shows that as you acknowledge how God desires you to behave and think in those areas, that He will honor His word in your life.
Yeah.
And it's a very powerful thing.
You know, and He's so patient with us. There's another proverb somewhere else. I can't remember the reference, but that we're so hasty to make these choices. And when they don't go right, we blame God.
Yeah.
I mean, He gets blamed every day, a million times a day. How did you let this happen to me? But He does give us wisdom. And if we acknowledge Him deeply in all our ways, we probably wouldn't make some of those choices.
Yeah. And a lot of times, all of us, at the end of the day, if we really looked in the mirror, and we say, "Why did you do that to me, God?" We all can reel back the tape a little bit and see that, wow, there was a series of decisions that we made. You know, there's usually just not one big one. There's a series of little decisions that we make that get us into the predicament we're in. You know, so if you're dating, okay, and you ended up having a baby out of wedlock, male or female, you know, you're part of it. There were all sorts of little decisions that led to that. And it just didn't, jump out of the blue.
Yeah, and why'd you let this happen to me, God?
Yeah. And things happen. But a lot of times there are these little erosions of decisions that we made. And so,
good wisdom. And I love the idea of just reading a chapter a day, 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. Maybe you've got a favorite verse that God's really speaking to you about out of Proverbs. I'd love to hear. 877-933-2484. Otherwise, email Susie@myfaithradio.com. We have Pastor Randy Disher in studio today unpacking the wisdom from Proverbs. And again, we'd love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. And we will be right back. for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. We have our friend Pastor Randy Disher in studio talking about the wisdom of Proverbs. And Pastor, I opened the show with something that you say. You just challenge us to ask ourselves, which I love, is just to ask myself several times a day, is this wise? And we were saying how, you know, you could decide in a moment, should I be offended? Well, is it wise to go that road? I mean, just to ask yourself, imagine what we'd save ourselves from. So take it from there, just what you're thinking about that.
Well, there's a great little book. I'd encourage it to your listeners by Andy Stanley. I think it's called The World's Best Question or something like that. So we made a series kind of out of that in different ways, kind of out of the wisdom literature and out of Ephesians 5, where it says, be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. So you got to have wisdom because we all have opportunities and they're not of equal value. And in an evil day, you have to take the best value in those evil days. Therefore, do not be foolish. There again, it's bringing back all of the wisdom literature that Paul was steeped in as well. But understand what the will of the Lord is. And notice what it says there. Don't. It's not telling you to discover the will of God or anything. It's telling you to understand intimately. It really goes back to that concept of the fear of the Lord. When you understand his character and his commands, he guides you down a path. So understand what that is for your life. And out of that, develop that question, what's the wise thing to do? I don't want to live as unwise. I don't want to live as a fool. I want to live wisely, understanding what God has for me. And when you ask that question, and I really encourage you as parents, grandparents, ask this to your children. You know, they've got a way. They want to do something. Ask them, is it wise? Intuitively, they know. Okay, does this go against the grain? Does this go against what I've been taught? Does this go against God's word? I've probably heard something there. Because a lot of times we ask the wrong question. We ask, is it immoral? Is it illegal? Is it unethical? Some of you in your dating, you're saying, where's the line? How far can I go? It's the wrong question. Ask the question, oh, with this behavior, with this girl, not knowing where this relationship's going to go, or with this guy, would that be wise? You know what? You probably know the answer to that. You don't have to have anybody else give you a sermon on it. And so it's not asking the question is, how far, how close to the line can I go? But rather, and not make it a philosophical discussion, but rather intuitively, do I know this would be good for me or bad for me? You know, I know what I want to do, but if I could put away some of my wants so that it'll be better for me in the end, I think most of us can do that. And so, you know, when you ask yourself the question, I'm overworking, you know, you've always heard, everybody's told you, you know, at the end of your life, you're never going to say, oh, I didn't work enough. You're going to say, I didn't spend enough time. So, when you're tempted to stay in that extra 2 hours, ask yourself the question, well, in the long run, is that wise?
I love that.
You know?
Love that.
And if I overspend, none of us want to be heavy in debt. So I know I'm feeling depressed or whatever, and I want to go out and buy that thing, and that's going to stay on my credit card for the next 3 years. Is that wise? It's not wrong. It's not illegal. They gave you the credit card. They were foolish to do it, but they gave it to you anyhow. But is it wise to use it that way? And so that's the problem. We always then, at the end of that, we ask ourselves, oh, I'm $40,000 in debt. How did I get into that mess? Well, little by little, I made little small choices, and they weren't super bad at the time, but they culminated in something. And if I would ask the question, is that really wise? I would have said, no, that's not wise. I don't want to end up in $40,000 worth of debt. But that's what happened. So I gave an illustration in our congregation. I said, you know, Tylenol is legal. They actually sell it in Walmart and stuff like that. I think, you know, it's legal. A lot of us take 4, 6, 8 pills a day or whatever. The number one cause of liver disease and liver failure in our country is too much Tylenol.
Is that right?
Is it wise?
Wow.
So, you know, would it be better to stretch my neck or do a little exercise, or should I pop some pills? Now, Tylenol's not bad, and I probably going to need one today. But, you know, but is it wise? Mm-hmm. And so we ask ourselves. The second best question has to do with humility, and that is, what would blank say? Or who, you know, put somebody's name in there. So if you need financial advice, do you know somebody that can give that? And will you humble yourself to ask it? What would Warren Buffett say to you about that financial decision? And so there's The Bible tells us to ask God if we need wisdom. That's where we should go first. And then that we should ask people around who know God, people who know us well and our motives, who we will listen to and be accountable to. You know, I'm convinced that most of us wouldn't make some of the bad decisions we make if we had three or four people that we shared that first with and they said, oh, yeah, I've done that stupid thing. Don't do that again. Mm-hmm. You know, that we would really learn from that kind of stuff. And then to ask experts when we need it to fill in our knowledge gaps. But wise people don't act like they know everything. They act like they need other people to help them along the road. And when you start acting like that, all of a sudden, you'll start looking a little smarter, too.
I love that. And, you know, we talked about this a little bit before the show. I can't wait to hear what your perspective is on it. But not only in Proverbs, but other parts of the Bible, it says, do not be wise in your own eyes. In fact, it's wicked to be wise in your own eyes. And I have some thoughts about why that's a bad thing, but I really would love to hear from you. Why Scripture's so strong about that?
Well, first and foremost, has to do with the fear concept. Wise in your own eyes means that you, in essence, have taken your own way, that you yourself are going the grain you go. And in your mind, you're saying, oh, I'll never get caught. I'll never get addicted. I'm better than this. I know that's happened to other people. So you're going against the grain. You're playing the odds, and you think you're going to beat them. And so to be wise in your own eyes
means I got this.
That you've got it, and you're not consulting God. And so the fool says, I'm wise, and is evil. And then if you bring that down to other decisions where there's people who could put into your life, I think a lot of people were afraid to get advice from people because we know what they're going to say. And that they're going to say exactly what we don't want to hear. And I've actually hurt myself before because I know if I asked somebody to help me that they would say something and I would really be confronted with that and have to submit. And we hurt our own growth when we do that. Yeah. And we need to have a humility about us that comes under that.
I love that. Another part I thought about not being wise in your own eyes is, you know, in James it talks about if you need wisdom, ask, and God will give generously. He won't fault you. And as we walk with God and we read Scripture and we apply it, we do grow in wisdom.
Yeah.
But I think there's a danger in thinking you own that wisdom. I mean, it comes from above. And so just as Scripture says that he distances himself from the proud and he draws near to the humble, I've met people who operate in a measure of wisdom, but act as if they own that wisdom, and there's something tarnished about it. I just think that's another part of what it means to be wise in your own eyes, as if this came about and originated from you.
You know what I mean? And, you know, we need the Holy Spirit, obviously, to make these kinds of decisions, because otherwise we do go our own way, and that Spirit does speak to us loud and clear a lot of times. But when we ask God, that word he gives generously, meaning he just pours it out on you if you will humble yourself and ask for it. And anything that's freely given to you, I think you should freely give it right back.
And pour it back out. And I love what you said, that there always is humility that goes with true godly wisdom. When you meet a wise soul, they're always also very, very humble.
Exactly.
And you know what I mean? So that's a beautiful thing.
And they know where it comes from. They know it's not from them. So I thought it would be fun to unpack a few Proverbs to kind of get wisdom from them. I think there's some great ones. I want to read Proverbs 24, verses 30 to 34. And it's kind of a bizarre one, but I used it. It just simply says this. The writer says, I went past the field of a sluggard, past the vineyard of someone who has no sense. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruins. I applied to my heart what I observed and learned a lesson from what I saw. A little sleep, and this is the proverb he came up with, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. Now, that's a pretty powerful thing, but there's also other levels in there that I think are so powerful to understand, not just about work and laziness or procrastination or ambition or all that, which is there. But what's really interesting is he was out on a walk. He walked by a field, and he made assumptions about who owned that field. I looked at the field. There were thorns. It wasn't plowed. It wasn't sown. He's a lazy man. And so what we need to realize from that is that everybody observes us. Our lives are open before people. And if you think you're making a private decision, you're not. You're making a personal decision, but there's a difference between personal and private. Every decision you make has ramifications and people see it. So when I drive up to your house, you don't need to tell me how much you are spending on certain things in your house, because I see it. I know how much about that neighborhood is worth and how much you spent on that house. So everything you decided in private about your finances are on display for everybody to see. When you drive up in a car, and people make assumptions about that. The most private, intimate moment we make about our relationships, our spouses, who we're going to marry, that all is written for everybody. So there's no such thing as a private decision.
Because it ripples out into
everywhere.
In a public way.
Yeah.
Interesting.
On relationships, if you went to Proverbs 6, you know, Proverbs 1 to 9 are how to live in this world, pass it on to the next generation. About 60%+ of those chapters have to do with sex, sexuality, misuse of sex, everything like that. And so there have been times when I have used this with couples, and it's on two different levels. Sometimes they're struggling with ex-spouses in a second marriage, and there's just so much anger and hatred there and all sorts of stuff. And then sometimes people can't understand why there seems to be ghosts in their life and in their relationships and everything. And so sometimes if you just read these first chapters, you find a lot of information. But I was dealing with a couple not too long ago that was having a lot of anger in extended relationships because of a divorce. And it was because of misuse of sexuality. So I read this passage to them because they're wondering, why can't we be civil? Why can't we learn to get along? How can we erase the anger? And I started reading chapter 6, verse 32. But a man who commits adultery has no sense. Whoever does so destroys himself. Blows and disgrace are his lot, and his shame will never be wiped away. For jealousy arouses a husband's fury, and he will show no mercy when he takes revenge. He will not accept any compensation. He will refuse a bribe, however great it is. You want to wonder why there's anger? That's why.
Hmm.
You don't ever have to wonder about it. You've aroused jealousy. There is no way outside of death that vengeance will be satisfied. So you've played the fool. You thought you could get away with that. It felt good. No one had ever felt like that before, had that emotion before. You went against the grain of God's character and conduct and command, and that's what happened. And underneath all of that is the importance of what God teaches in the very first chapters of the Bible, that what it means to two to become one. And when you tear that apart, there will always be a ghost. And this is hard truth for people, but when we've made mistakes, we've maybe done things, the only road back through that is humility and repentance. You can't act like it didn't happen, like you, quote, fell out of love. You have to go back to the other parties and say, I broke God's law, and I broke you, and I repent. And until you come to that place, there can't be a healing in life.
Boy, because really, it's like you justify it, you make excuses, you blame the other for their angst, and that doesn't go all the way to the bottom, to the, you know, that root. And so you're saying go all the way to the truest truth, and that's it right there. Well, we just have a few minutes left with Pastor Randy. If you want to chime into the conversation around Proverbs and the wisdom found there, we'd love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. We've got a stack of books from our Faith Radio shelf. We've got Steve Allison calling in from Iowa, wants to chime in. Steve, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi.
Thanks. Hi.
Well, this conversation's interesting. I've been kind of stuck on Colossians 3:17 here lately, and whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of Jesus. And it just ties right into what we're talking about here, going with the grain. And that just reminds me every step of the day how every decision is overcoming or becoming. And
wow.
How I want to overcome the grain that's pushing me one way. And the more I flow in his paths and acknowledge who he is, just the more I become who he wants me to be and become who I'm created to be.
Absolutely.
Love it, Steve.
Right.
I feel a sermon in the making, Steve. I think God's getting you ready to preach that message. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's really something. So.
Good.
Very good.
I really appreciate your words.
Mm. Oh, thank you.
Thanks so much for calling in. We'll get you a book off of our shelf here. God bless your day. 877-933-2484. So continue on, Pastor.
Well, I tell you, the writers of the New Testament are steeped in wisdom literature. It's really a great thing. And so let me read it, one that I think everybody will recognize. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 25. When the storm has swept by, the wicked are gone, but the righteous stand firm forever. Now, probably when most people hear that, if they're aware of Jesus' words, they hear Jesus talking about that parable about the wise man and the foolish man and where they built their houses and when the storm came, and we sing a little songs about it. But you see that that just flowed out of Jesus from his upbringing of hearing the wisdom literature and being in his home and probably memorizing a lot of that as well, that when you build your foundation on the way that God has for you, which is what it's talking about, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of how you make the path for your life. It's the beginning of wisdom, that when the storms of life come, and we know that these are probabilities, like you said earlier. So, yeah, we get dinged. We get hurt by real storms, and there's tornadoes that hit the righteous and the unrighteous, and there's hard things that we have to work through. But the person who has set their way on God and is following that way, you know what? The Bible says that God's going to be with them. And there's one of the promises. I'll never leave you and never forsake you in the midst of everything you're in, that God, when you build your foundation on that, you will stand in the end.
Yeah.
That's a great, great
that
probability. I want
powerful.
To stand.
Amen. Amen.
In the storms of my life.
Yes.
So, and we all have them. So here's another good one. This is a father-son one. Just a few Proverbs. Just kind of get people excited about reading them. This is found in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 22. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. So this is kind of a father-son chat again. It's interesting. The father's coaching his son on kind of a premarital thought process. And he's telling him to be careful that, you know, you can be lured in, and rightly so, because it's the way we're created, by the beauty of a woman on the outside. But if she has defective character and poor judgment, you're going to pay for that in all of your life. So it's better to also investigate the inside. Now, isn't it interesting that that was written 3,000-4,000 years ago, back in the day when men had that problem, a tendency to focus on the outside and appearance and not deeper issues. But I'm glad we've evolved past that in our modern
era. And there are no shallow women in our day either.
No. And there again, all of these are both sides, aren't
they? That's right.
You know, so this is something that really is meaningful to us. Even when we talk to our kids, you know, we ask those deeper questions, you know. Well, what does she think about this? What does he think about this? Rather than, wow, isn't, you know, 6'4", you know, beautiful. And, you know, so we all just need to be careful about that. Mm. So here's another one. Proverbs 24:27. We're in the wintertime right here in Minnesota, but it says, and this would be to young people once again, especially as a father talks to his son. You put your outdoor work in order and get your fields ready. After that, build your house. See, it's easy to think that, you know, you can reverse that. And so there's a little statement that goes something like that. Get a job before you get the Jag. Hmm. Or make some money before you put a down payment on that Mercedes. And so what it's just simply saying is simple wisdom. You know, before you have all sorts of attachments that you have to pay for, make sure you can pay for them. First things first. That's just so simple. Most of us, we've learned the hard way some things on that. I met a guy the other day, was talking to him. He's spending about 80% of his income on his truck.
Whoa.
I wish he would have asked the question,
yeah.
Is it wise? Could I drive an older truck for a while? And all of us would want to tell our kids that. Mm. So there's a lot
you
of
know, and scripture
there.
Talks about live up to what you already know. And you think about, even pause right now, what's giving you angst today? You know you've read, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and don't forget to thank him for what he's done. Yeah. What if you did that today? Mm-hmm. You know, and if we turned our back on worry and decided to trust God instead, just to live up to some of the things that we already know. Yeah. In fact, you hear, you know, diets don't work. And what most of us fitness people say is it's not the diet that failed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not that I'm a big fan of diets, but I'm saying we don't always apply what we already know. And we might be going looking for that next great thing, but wow, there's a treasure trove of wisdom that we've probably already stored up in our hearts that we've stopped applying.
And exactly. So just, and come back to it after you read it and just ask that question, is it wise? So if you're getting off of work right now and you think about going to the car lot and you know that that's going to affect the way you're going to be able to live, it's going to put a cramp on you. It might even affect the way you are generous towards other people and your church. You need to ask the question, is that wise? Is that wise? And boy, that'll save you from a lot of heartache. And God, when you get on the right side of that grain, God's going to make your way right. Mm. And there's a great blessing in that. So all of us need this.
Yeah.
Because we make, I guess the estimate is we make over 600 decisions a day. Some of those, obviously, little decisions, but maybe one or two affect that little process that could be something devastating for us. And the reason we need these proverbs is because we have a tendency to be foolish.
Yep.
We have a tendency to go our own way. And so we think we can beat the system. I'm the exception. So I just really encourage people to, if this is a humbling thing, a submitting ourselves to the Spirit of God and saying, God, I really want to be doing things your way so that I honor and glorify you in all of my life. And there is an old hymn that has got that little line in it from all of the folly of sin I resign.
Mm-hmm.
And sin is folly. It's yep. silliness, going against God and the grain of the way he wants. He wants the best for us. And, of course, the Old Testament literature personifies wisdom and folly as a person. And in the New Testament, that's all brought together in the person of Jesus Christ. Colossians 2:3 says, in Christ are hidden all God's resources of wisdom and knowledge. And so you and I, when we go with the grain and put our faith in Jesus Christ and trust him with our lives, we're receiving the Holy Spirit in a measure of wisdom that we can rely on. And so when we come to God that way, he's going to reveal himself to us. And so I just encourage people to enroll in this school of wisdom.
Amen.
And take this month now and just read the proverb a day. If you're struggling a little bit with regular Bible reading, just try a proverb a day and try to get yourself into that routine and get on hearing God all the time in your life. And I don't know if you'll be smarter intelligently, but you're going to be a lot wiser if you do.
Yeah, and how beautiful. We're going to play one more song. It's called Whole Heart, and it's also by Shannon Wexelberg. And just really so much about asking God, give me an undivided heart. It'll change how you live. Hear the song, and we'll wrap up in a moment. Give me a home. Pastor Randy, this has been powerful. I know you have a closing word for us, and then I'd love for you just to pray for us.
Okay, great. Well, I just want to encourage you to read a proverb day, get the word of God into your life and make a habit out of it. When I had encouraged our people to do that, I made a proverb up that said, a proverb a day keeps the stupids away. And so I just am going to pray for you that God's word will just direct your path. So let's pray together. Mm-hmm. Lord, thank you so much for your word. You're a great and almighty God, and you have revealed yourself to us so that life would go well with us, so that it would go according to how you desire your life to be in ours. And so I pray for each one listening. You would just encourage them by means of your word to commit their way to you and to follow you all the days of their life. So we give you praise for that. You alone are worthy for that kind of praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor, for joining us today and for all you do for the kingdom. Thanks so much for tuning in today. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. You can find a podcast of today's show up on our website at myfaithradio.com. There's lots of podcasts there. We've had some amazing guests. Sheila Walsh yesterday, Stacey Eldridge the day before. Share this with a friend, someone who needs a word of encouragement. You can do it with a click of a button, all right? I'll leave you with this thought. You hear it every day. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and He's the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.